When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that proves there's more than one way to make history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about the time when a paper towel company accidentally launched one of the hottest fashion trends of the late 1960s. The day was March 18, 1966. The Scott Paper Company launched a promotion for disposable paper dresses. The campaign was intended to hype up the company's new line of colorful paper towels and napkins, but the gimmicky paper dresses, which Scott called paper capers, proved a much bigger hit with the public. With just two proofs of purchase and $1.25 for shipping, customers could send away for a paper dress, available in either a red paisley bandana pattern or a black and white op art print. The paper capers weren't actually made of simple paper, but of a cellulose material called duraweave. It wasn't as tough or as flexible as regular fabric, but it could stand up to a handful of wearings before having to be thrown away. The disposable dresses were designed as a marketing tool and were never meant to be taken seriously as their own product. The company figured they'd get a few thousand orders, which they would send out along with some coupons, and that would pretty much be it. But the demand for the paper dresses was much greater than expected. 500,000 orders poured in by the end of the year, catching the company off guard and prompting executives to end the promotion early because they, quote, didn't want to turn into dress manufacturers. The paper dresses were indeed a distraction from Scott Paper's actual products. The disposable tableware line they were meant to promote was quickly discontinued and forgotten, but the paper fashion trend they started lived on. The Scott Company may not have wanted to get into the paper dress business, but after seeing how popular the style was, plenty of other manufacturers did. One of the biggest players in this new niche market was Mars of Asheville, a hosiery company based in North Carolina. Just 3 months after the start of Scott's promotion, Mars launched a wide range of paper dresses under the label Wastebasket Boutique. In addition to a basic A-line style available in a variety of colorful prints, it also included everything from a paper evening dress to a paper wedding gown, with no dress costing more than $20. The success of the dress line led Mars to expand the collection to include other paper garments aimed at men and children, such as a paper bell-bottom jumpsuit. Then, in September of 1966, Mars introduced its wildest concept yet, a plain white paper dress that came with a watercolor paint set and paintbrush so you could customize your look. The company held a high-profile launch event for the Paint Your Own Paper Dress in New York City. Pop artist Andy Warhol attended the event and even crafted a dress of his own to help promote the line. It had the word fragile silkscreened all over it, and the artist jokingly signed it Dolly. The PR stunt was a huge success and helped make Mars of Asheville the leading manufacturer of paper fashion. At the peak of the trend, the company produced more than 80,000 paper outfits each week. Countless other paper dresses were designed as wearable advertisements and were offered by companies through mail-away coupons, similar to what Scott Paper had done. The approach to the designs varied. Some dresses were emblazoned with the brand's logo or product, while others were more generic, sporting floral prints or geometric patterns. Some of the many brands to hop on the paper dress bandwagon include Green Giant Vegetables, Butterfinger Candy Bars, KFC Fast Food, Campbell's Soup, Universal Studios, The Yellow Pages, and Seagram's Crown Whiskey. Other companies leaned even harder into the disposable fashion trend. Clothing stores such as JCPenney, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Lord & Taylor opened up dedicated paper departments, and Hallmark introduced a line of so-called hostess dresses that were made to match different sets of paper napkins and tablecloths, all of which would be thrown away when the party was over. Paper dresses proved to have longer legs than anyone would have guessed, and over the next several years, they continued to pop up in some pretty unexpected places. At beaches, for instance, you might have seen a swimmer daring enough to wear a pair of paper swim trunks or a paper bikini. And while out and about, you might have crossed paths with someone sprouting flowers and herbs from a paper dress lined with pouches of soil and seeds. But perhaps the strangest place that paper dresses turned up in was the realm of politics. During the 1968 presidential election in the U.S., several campaigns produced paper dresses to go along with the usual assortment of buttons, stickers, and signs. The logo-adorned dresses were worn by young supporters at rallies for candidates on both sides of the aisle, including Democrats Eugene McCarthy and Robert Kennedy, as well as Republicans Nelson Rockefeller, George Romney, and the eventual winner, Richard Nixon. That same year, the paper dress even made its way north into Canadian politics, as Pierre Trudeau printed his own photograph on a paper dress as part of his successful run for prime minister. Part of the appeal of paper clothing was its convenience and affordability. Customers could throw out a garment after a single use, or wear it up to a dozen times, if they were careful. They could also make alterations or repairs with just a pair of scissors and some scotch tape. And since most of the dresses cost just a few dollars, women could afford to keep their wardrobes up to date with the latest trends. Viewed through that lens, it makes sense why paper apparel caught on as big as it did. But nothing lasts forever, especially paper clothing. And by the early 1970s, the fashion trend had run its course. Ironically, the main draw of the paper dress, its ephemeral nature, was the very reason it fell out of favor. The emerging hippie movement rejected paper clothing as wasteful, and from then on, it was viewed as a symbol of empty consumerism, disposable clothing for a disposable culture. And to be sure, the paper dresses of the 1960s were wasteful, with no thought whatsoever given to recycling them. It's for the best that the craze died out when it did, but it sure seemed like a good time while it lasted. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
To Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.